Part 1 of The Man in the Moon by Francis Godwin. This is a LibriVox recording. All LibriVox recordings are in the public domain. For more information or to volunteer, please visit LibriVox.org. Recording by Thomas Copeland. The Man in the Moon by Francis Godwin. Part 1. To the ingenious reader, thou hast here an essay of fancy, where invention is showed with judgment. It was not the author's intention to presume to discourse thee into a belief of each particular circumstance. 'Tis fit thou allow him a liberty of conceit, where thou takest to thyself a liberty of judgment. In substance, thou hast here a new discovery of a new world, which perchance may find little better entertainment in thy opinion than that of Columbus at first, in the esteem of all men. Yet his then but poor espial of America betrayed unto knowledge so much as hath since increased into a vast plantation, and the then unknown to be now of as large extent as all other the known world. That there should be antipodes was once thought as great a paradox as now that the moon should be habitable. But the knowledge of this may seem more properly reserved for this our discovering age, in which our galilapses can by advantage of their spectacles gaze the sun into spots, and descry mountains in the moon. But this and more in the ensuing discourse I leave to thy candid censure, and the faithful relation of the little eye-witness our great discoverer, E.M. The Man in the Moon. It is well enough, and sufficiently known to all the countries of Andalusia, that I, Domingo Gonzales, was born of noble parentage, and that in the renowned city of Seville, to wit, in the year 1552, my father's name being Ferrando Gonzales, that was near kinsman, by the mother's side, unto Don Pedro Sanchez, that worthy Count of Almenara, and as for my mother, she was the daughter of the reverend and famous lawyer Otho Perez de Salaveda, governor of Barcelona, and corregidor of Biscaya, being the youngest of 17 children they had. I was put to school, and intended by them unto the church, but our Lord, purposing to use my service in matters of far other nature and quality, inspired me with spending some time in the wars. It was at the time that Don Ferrando, the noble and thrice-renowned Duke d'Alva, was sent into the Low Countries, videlicet, the year of grace, 1568. I then, following the current of my foresaid desire, leaving the University of Salamanca, whither my parents had sent me, without giving knowledge unto any of my dearest friends, got me through France unto Antwerp, where, in the month of June 1569, I arrived in something poor state. For having sold my books and bedding, with such other stuff as I had, which happily yielded me some 30 ducats, and borrowed of my father's friends some 20 more, I bought me a little nag, with which I travelled more thriftily than young gentlemen are wont ordinarily to do. Until at last, arriving within a league of Antwerp, certain of the cursed geuses set upon me and bereaved me of horse, money, and all. Whereupon I was fain, through want and necessity, to enter into the service of Marshal Cossy, a French nobleman, whom I served truly in honourable place, although mine enemies gave it out to my disgrace that I was his horsekeeper's boy. But for that matter, I shall refer myself under the report of the Count Mansfield, Monsieur Tevier, and other men of known worth and estimation, who have often testified, unto many of good credit yet living, the very truth in that behalf, which indeed is this, that Monsieur Cossy, who about that time had been sent ambassador unto the Duke d'Alva, governor of the Low Countries, he, I say, understanding the nobility of my birth and my late misfortune, thinking it would be no small honour to him to have a Spaniard of that quality about him, furnished me with horse, armour, and whatsoever I wanted, using my service in nothing so much, after once I had learned the French tongue, as writing his letters, because my hand, indeed, was very fair. In the time of war, if upon necessity I now and then dressed mine own horse, it ought not to be cast in my teeth, seeing I hold it a part of a gentleman, for setting forward the service of his prince to submit himself unto the vilest office. The first expedition I was in was against the Prince of Orange, at which time the marshal, my friend aforesaid, met him making a road into France.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?